This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Natasha Dean is the author of the YA novel The Signs and Wonders of Tuna Rashad. It's a story that has its seeds in Natasha's Caribbean roots. Natasha joins us via Zoom from Edmonton. Hi, Natasha.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks very much for having a chance to talk with us. This is not your first novel that has a Caribbean background, and you yourself have a Caribbean background. So how much of you is in the stories that you write?
Oh, that's such a good question. And that's such a good question because it's a hard question to answer. You know, on the one hand, like lots, because of course, if your character is a Caribbean, you bring your Caribbean-ness to it. Although you and I were joking around earlier that, you know, can Guyana really consider itself Caribbean or West Indian? or are we just South American and we're pretending? But certainly those things play a part. But then at the same time, your character is something that is a complete, like, imaginative dream. And so it's a little bit of both, right? A little bit of me, but mostly my imagining of what the life would be like for these characters.
Now, you were born in Canada, but I understand you went to Guyana at a very young age. Clearly, before your decision making process was ready for this. How long did you live in Guyana?
5 years. So we moved when I was 3 weeks old from Toronto. We moved back home and then grew up there. And when I was like five and a bit, we moved back to Canada, and we actually moved to Calgary and then grew up there for the rest of my life.
So even though five is not a completely mature age, do you still remember a bit of culture shock when you came back to Canada?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, it's a weird place, right? Because like I'm born Canadian, but my experience in Canada is an immigrant experience because this was not the first country I knew. This isn't the country that I grew up in. And there were so many things that were so kind of like wildly different. And, you know, I remember back home when it would rain, the teachers would just shut off the lights and we'd make paper boats and we'd float them down the rivers that would form, you know, by the sidewalks and stuff. And then when I came to Canada, like, you know, I remember the first time it rained and I was really excited because I thought for sure this is what we were going to do. And it was like, no, nobody pauses school to float, you know, paper boats down rivers. And I was deeply disappointed. And I was like, no, this is why I want to go home. We can float stuff. We can turn off lights at school. And you did not get to do that in Canada for sure.
So that early awareness, how much of that is infused in the writing that you do for young readers?
For the book that came up previous to Tuna, In the Key of Niragani, definitely Nira struggled with that feeling of being an outsider trying to fit in, doing the code switching, you know, living one way in at home and then another way, you know, when she's out in public. For Tuna is born in America and grows up in America. So her display of her culture is the embracing of the ancestral philosophy that your ancestors do watch over you. And so you pay attention to the signs and the not omens, but like the things that happen in your life, right? Because your elders who have passed on are looking out over you and sending these little messages to tell you that they're still there and sort of cheering you on.
Now, you are a writer and you're writing the story, The Signs and Wonders of Tuna Rashad, about a writer. How meta is that?
Yes. I know. It was so much fun, Peter. And honestly, like to all my writer friends who are out there, you know, we struggle, right? We struggle to get these ideas on the page and to tell these stories. And I was thinking to myself, like, I know the story beats. Like, what is going on here? And, you know, unlike me, Tuna's a writer, but she wants to be a screenwriter. And I was thinking, like, you know, I just sort of had this hilarious thought that wouldn't it be funny if the chapter headings mirrored story beat headings? So, you know, the story breaks into two, you know, let the end credits roll. And so, yeah, it became very meta, but so much fun. And then it actually works, you know, as a novel, but then also as a craft writing novel, because you can see where all of those beats fall into place with the chapter headings. So it was quite a delight and quite fun to do.
Tell us the story of The Signs and Wonders of Tuna Rashad. What's it about?
So Tuna is an aspiring screenwriter. She's leaving for Georgia at the end of the summer. And her big goal for the summer is to ask out her crush, the soon-to-be Mr. Tuna Rashad, Tristan Dangerfield, except Tuna's brother, Robbie, his spouse died suddenly, and Robbie is grieving. And what's happened is Robbie's grief is sort of like drowning the family. And so Tuna decides that what she's going to do is she's going to help Robbie get a life, or at least get out of her life and stop meddling. And so, you know, it's a tagline with, you know, a grief-stricken brother, a ticking clock, and a crush who doesn't believe in signs and wonders. You know, what could possibly go wrong? So even though it deals with a fairly, you know, heavy topic, the idea of how do we grieve and how do we move on after we lost, after we've lost someone we love, it's actually a very funny book that celebrates, you know, family and relationships and sort of going out and being audacious in your pursuit of your dreams.
In looking over the press material, I came across a word that I have now decided to adopt in my own vocabulary. Tell us what the word to you means of stupidstitious.
I love it, Peter. I love the pause because I was like, what is the word? I'm so curious. Yeah, because that's what Robbie calls Tuna, that she's superstitious to the point of stupidity. And so she is stupidstitious. But for Tuna, and I think this is why I really loved writing her, she is just really confident about who she is. She's not going to make excuses. She's not going to like come into any space asking permission to be in that space. You know, she is who she is. And that means that she, you know, I think how I said it in the book is like, you know, from Tuna's perspective, that she is a science girl, she's a math girl, but also, you know, she feels like her elders have a wisdom that shouldn't be discarded. And, you know, if her grandmothers believe that their elders were watching out over them, then she will also look out and for the signs and wonders. And if that means her brother calls her names, then that's his problem, not hers.
How much of Natasha is in this character?
Oh, I wish more, because she's so confident and she's so like, you know, just like beautifully brazen about going after whatever it is that she wants. And I am not that, like, I will go after, but I'm so much more anxious than she is. And she's far cooler than I feel than I will ever be in my entire life. And also she was very clever in setting out to be a writer in high school. Cause had I known what the publishing industry, how difficult it would be to break in, I think I would have started writing in the womb and querying agents and editors, you know, right after I was born. I think that would have been a much better plan.
Okay, so then let me ask the question this way. How much of your character is a rewrite of Natasha?
I think her belief that things will eventually work out even when things get hard, her love of puns and corny jokes, for sure. That's definitely me. Her love of food, her and Robbie's love of food, definitely me. I will totally follow people home if they give me cupcakes. And what else is, like, I just, yeah, and her loyalty, for sure. She's very loyal to her friends and her family. And I would hope I am, you know, that if they were asked, they would say I was that loyal and that loving towards them, for sure.
Since the character has a Caribbean background, when it comes to young readers, do you find that your young readers are someone who gravitate toward a Caribbean background, or is it something that is an eye-opening expansion for those who aren't of Caribbean heritage?
You know, that's a great question. I think it's both. You know, I think for people of Caribbean descent, people are, like, whenever we see ourselves represented, no matter how we identify, it is such a, it's such a joy, right? To see yourself on a page, to see yourself in a TV show or a movie. And then for those stories where we're not part of those communities, it's a wonderful journey, right? And like you said, it's eye-opening, and it's also, I think, world expanding. Like, all of a sudden we see how big and beautiful the world is, and how many, like, different expressions of joy and light and love that could be out there. So I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's both.
They say you should never judge a book by its cover, but how could you not pick up a book with the title The Signs and Wonders of Tuna Rashad?
Well, and I got it. Like, can I just please shout out to my running press kids team, because that cover is so delightful. I can't even with myself, Peter. And they also did In the Key of Niragani. And if you ever see the hardcover and the paperback cover of Nira, it's the same thing. Like, the designers are just genius. And then when you open it up and you see how they've done the font and all the, like, the little tiny details, it's just gorgeous. It's just a gorgeous thing to hold in your hand.
Well, the book
not that I'm at all biased.
Well, the book is The Signs and Wonders of Tuna Rashad. And I thank you very, very much, Natasha, for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Peter. And thank you to the audience for spending time with us, too. Have a great day, everyone.
Natasha Dean, author of The Signs and Wonders of Tuna Rashad. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com to the page for this show, which is show number 0671, and you'll find links to Natasha's site, plus links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order her book directly.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.